It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, cinematographer Cameron Shaw and educator Laurie Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely first week of spring. And I hope that includes listening to our show and maybe giving us a call, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are looking for your participation. That's very, very important. We would love to hear from you. So those two phone numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Yeah, early in the show is the best time to call, it really is, because we will get you on as soon as you put up with us asking our long questions. We will get you on, so please call soon. Plus, we enjoy talking to you a lot. So again, it's 866-798-8255 or 415-841-4134. It is also possible to email us, and that is just fine. We like to talk to you more, but if you can't get through for some reason, you just want to email us, that's okay too. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear us in live stream, of course, that is at kalw.org. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time today. And that will also be at kalw.org. And many, many other places, but start with KLW. I'm sure that's appreciated. They keep count of that stuff. I don't know why, but they do. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introduction and then a round of questions. And the guest today, Cameron Shaw, is very proud of her Northwestern Wildcats for abruptly ruining just about everyone's March Madness bracket. Go Cats. Yes, okay. Ruin my bracket too.
Yeah. That was your favorite time of year, Dana, right?
I had the Whittier Poets down and nothing.
All right. Following Selection Sunday, Laurie Fisher is declaring today Snoozy Saturday in the hopes that our audience today is well-rested and happily headed towards the Final Four.
I believe we all are. And then one of the non-Straussian voices of spring, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
That's right. Wait a minute, you know, I'm thinking back on Northwestern, didn't Northwestern have some amazing record of losses in one of the sports?
Yes, probably.
I think they did.
I think we might have amazing records of losses in all sports.
Yeah.
It was probably football for quite some time, including the time when I went there. We were very bad at football.
Well, I'm not linking the two of you, but to the things. But
Cameron was injured. Well, they played all of these huge schools, you know, Illinois, yeah. Michigan. And they had like nine students, so that was the problem.
If only Cameron had not gotten that housemaid's knee, it might have been a different story.
It's true.
It's so true.
Okay. All right. So, all that being said, we will start with Cameron Shaw.
Okay. Since Laurie is I'm going to start with a slightly longer question. Then I'll save my nerdy literature question for Laurie later. All right. So according to the Henley Passport Index, which is an index that gives you basically all information you want to know about all passports, there is a six-way tie for the strongest passport in the world, which means you can, if you hold these passports, you can go to the most countries without a visa or getting a visa upon arrival. So I'm wondering which six countries are the strongest passports. And then if you want to give me the three weakest passport holding countries, you can.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure Japan is one of the strongest.
Japan is one of the strongest, yes. So it's 194 countries and I believe nationality or protectorates are involved in that as well. But
yeah, I don't know that the U.S. is in the top five. They might be. I don't know. I think Switzerland is another one, though.
Switzerland is not one of the tied for number one.
Oh, okay. All right.
How about Australia?
It is. Oh, Australia is not in tied for in the tie for first place. Mm-hmm. Dana, I will say, well, Switzerland is actually fairly far down the list, so it's tied for fifth.
And, is,
and Australia is also tied for fifth.
All right. Is in I guess on the weakest. How about North Korea?
That's a great guess, but no, not North Korea. It's not in the weakest three.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. Strongest six and weakest three, right?
Yes, strongest six, they're all tied for first place.
I'm still thinking that I'm pretty sure some of the Scandinavian countries are in the top. How about the happiest country in the world, Finland?
The happiest country in the world is tied for second place.
Okay.
Right. So yeah. Nobel, right?
Yeah. All right.
I'll go Scandinavia. I'll go then with Sweden.
Sweden is also tied for second place. So there are no Scandinavian countries in the tied for first countries.
Right.
Okay. I'll give one guess for the worst.
Okay.
So, Lori guessed North Korea, and that was not it. So, how about Haiti?
Oh, interesting guess. Not Haiti, no.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so we'll leave it up.
All right. So just ask the question once more, please.
Okay. According to the Henley Passport Index, there is a six-way tie for the strongest passport in the world. In other words, which passports allow visits to the most countries without a visa? What six countries are they? And then what are the three weakest passports in the world?
Okay. All right. And Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, I came across a reference to care packages, and then I went down a little rabbit hole and really did not know that care was an acronym. So I'm going to give you seven really familiar acronyms or abbreviations, and I want to know what they stand for. The first is CARE, as in care package, and there's actually two correct answers for that. Number two is EPCOT, as in Epcot Center. Number three is TASER, the weapon that is used. Then we're going to get a little more technical here. Number four is USB, as in USB drives or thumb drives or ports. QR codes, which are ubiquitous, the QR part. GIFs, that's kind of photo thing. And the last one is that weird thing they call CAPTCHA. That's when you go online and you have to identify how many of these squares have a bus or a pony in them. That's called the CAPTCHA. And that's the most wild, interesting acronym. So I'll go through them again. CARE.
Give the premise once more, what we're looking for.
What you're looking for is what all these things stand for, the abbreviation or the acronym.
And are they all tied in a sense?
No, they're not tied to each other at all. They're all separate, sorry. So it's CARE as a care package, EPCOT, TASER, USB, QR as in QR code, GIS, and CAPTCHA, which is spelled CAPTCHA. Give you one and a half each, or two at the most each. Go ahead.
Okay. I know EPCOT, which is the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
That is correct. 1982. Really good. Give her a bell for that. Dana, you have one?
I don't have one at the moment. I'm trying to think. I thought I knew what care package was.
I think you do know. It's the most historical, meaning it goes back the farthest to 1945, if that helps.
Oh, I got to think of it for a few minutes.
Okay. Cam, you have
All right.
Okay.
Just
no.
Go ahead.
I actually don't have another guess. I should know six of these. I don't. So
I think so too. Yeah. Anyway, the ones that are still out there: care for care package, taser, which is a really fun one, USB, QR, JF, and CAPTCHA, CAPTCHA. And oddly enough, CAPTCHA should have three T's in the middle, if we're accurate. I think it's playing around with language. It's the longest and the funniest one. Okay. And that's that thing you have to identify online as when you're trying to get into a site to prove you're not a robot or an AI device. Anyway, that's
cooperation. It's cooperation something. Cooperation for assistance and relief everywhere.
Ooh.
It's absolutely right. The first word is cooperative for assistance and relief everywhere. Oh, that's excellent. And the other version, that's the current version. The original was cooperative for American remittance to Europe. It was a post-World War II thing. And as they went worldwide, it became what Dana said, cooperative for assistance and relief everywhere. For everyone. Very good.
Okay.
So we'll leave
All right. And again, the two numbers to join us with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I'm calling because I want to know if Canada is one of the strongest passports.
That is a great guess. I would have guessed the same, but it is not one of the tied for first place six countries. Looks like Canada is tied for sixth place.
Okay, Dana, you can ignore the email I sent that said Canada then. What prompted me to call in is Lori's acronyms, and the reason I know CAPTCHA is because I called in with that as a question a couple of months ago,
goodness.
And nobody on the panel got it.
So tell us what it is.
It's completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart.
Give her like three bells. And they only have one T for the Turing test to tell. That's great. Thank you. And I apologize for not giving you credit.
You see what good memories we have now?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And all right. My turn here, I think. Okay. I'm going to give you some food-related questions because I think we can all relate to that. All right. Now, listen carefully to this. What is the most common Chinese restaurant name in the United States that does not use the word China anywhere in its name? And it's two words, and Panda Express does not qualify because that's fast food. So it's a restaurant name. So in other words, the restaurant, these do not have, they don't necessarily have to be part of a chain. It could be just random restaurants all across the United States that use this name. So again, what is the most common Chinese restaurant name in the U.S. that does not use the word China? It's a two-word name. There are more than 20 of these. You cannot use Panda Express because that's fast food, and I'm asking about sit-down restaurants. So
I would have thought it's P.F. Chang's. I thought there are more than 20 of those, but it's obviously not that either, right?
No.
Okay. Is it something garden?
Well, that's a perfectly reasonable guess, but no.
Okay. All right. I'll keep thinking.
I don't have the word express in it either.
What is the most common Chinese restaurant name, not fast food, in the United States that does not use the word China? It's a two-word name. So don't use Panda Express. That's fast food. And there are over 20 of them.
Are there any in the Bay Area, as far as you know?
You know, there could be. Yes, there are. Actually, there are, because I think it'll get up. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to guess once more. Is that okay?
Yeah.
How about Dumpling King or something?
No, but that certainly seems like something I could see as I drive by some whatever neighborhood.
I mean, I'd go to that restaurant, so yeah.
Would you? All right, there you go.
There's a lot of dumplings, but I would think these would have a broader, cuisine than that. That'd be my guess.
It's obviously it doesn't refer to any one dish. I should say that. Okay.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, it's not wonton king or anything like that.
Okay. Noted.
Okay. Second question. I'm going to give you a list of eight, but now we are going to deal with fast food. I'm going to give you a list of eight fast food restaurants all across the United States. And what I want you to do is tell me the number one most ordered item in those restaurants. Okay. The number one. Now, I should say that I think I've only been to one of these.
Seven of them.
But I'm in the minority, I'm sure. So, again, these are eight fast food restaurant chains across the United States. And I would like to know the single most ordered item at each of these places. Okay. So, number one, Subway. Number two, Chipotle. Number three, Wendy's. Number four, Jack in the Box. Number five, Dairy Queen. Sounds like my high school. Number six, Sonic. Number seven, In-N-Out. And number eight, Taco Bell. So again, I'm looking for, according to statistics, what are the single most ordered item from each of these restaurants? Number one, Subway. Number two, Chipotle. Number three, Wendy's. Number four, Jack in the Box. Number five, Dairy Queen. Number six, Sonic. Number seven, In-N-Out. Number eight, Taco Bell. And I'll give you each one guess at least.
So we have to be, for Subway, I can't say a sandwich. I'm guessing you
It can be something to drink too, by the way.
Okay.
No, just to let you know. Okay.
But if I went with a Subway sandwich, you want it to be more specific.
They're all Subway sandwiches. So yeah, no, you have to give me the right one.
My first guess will be the Dairy Queen. I think it'll be a cone that's dipped.
So you have to name me what it is. So like, if you order it, you can't just say, give me a cone that's dipped. It's on the neck.
I think I could, by the way. Okay, it's a soft, it's a chocolate dipped soft serve. How's that?
Not close enough.
Oh, I think it's close. I think
it sounds like he's right.
Yeah.
He's on the right track, but it's not.
He's going to make it be precise. Like,
Yeah.
With sprinkles and gummy bears on it or something.
Well, it probably has a silly name that's specific to Dairy Queen, is what. Oh. There is like one Dairy Queen in the Bay Area, good listeners. So this is hard for us.
Yeah, but once you leave the Bay Area, there are plenty of them around.
That's true. Why would you do that? Leave the Bay Area. Okay, I'm going to guess for Wendy's, is it a Frosty?
No, it is not a Frosty.
Okay, darn.
And that's a specific Wendy's item.
It is a little delicious chocolate milkshake that has no business being that delicious, yes.
Okay, sure. I'm just going to run down these questions.
Just the one guess each. All right, we're not close. Okay.
All right. Number one, what is the most common Chinese restaurant name in the U.S. that does not use the word China? It's a two-word name. Do not use Panda Express because I'm asking about restaurant, and Panda Express is a fast food sort of thing. So, again, I'm looking for a two-word name. China is not used in that name. And this is not part of a chain. These are just happen to be a lot of restaurants around that use the same name across the United States. What is the most ordered single item in these fast food chains? So I give you eight fast food chains. I want you to tell me what the most ordered single item is. It can be something to drink, just so you know. So, but none of them are Coke or Pepsi, just so you know that too. Number one, Subway. Number two, Chipotle. Number three, Wendy's. Number four, Jack in the Box. Number five, Dairy Queen. Number six, Sonic. Number seven, In-N-Out, and number eight, Taco Bell. Yes, Cameron.
Okay, I think I remembered the Dairy Queen. Is it called a Dilly Bar?
No.
Ah,
I'm not I'm not saying that's not on the menu. It's just not number one.
But did reveal that you know the items on the Dairy Queen menu.
I was so excited.
Sorry to hear that.
So, all right. And let's see. Oh, Adam was kind enough to email and say Northwestern record, Division I football, for the most consecutive losses, 34.
Oh, nice.
34 good losses.
That's like 3 seasons worth. Probably.
Yeah, thanks, Adam, for bringing that up.
Did they even leave the dorm to play? I'm not sure.
I mean, we do like to study at Northwestern, so. They call us Nerd Western for a reason.
You like to study everything but how to win football games.
Yes, yeah.
Did you go to any games when you were there? Probably not.
I sure did. I would imagine that record is probably pre-Coach Fitzgerald, who is our current coach, and we're pretty good these days, so, yeah.
Well, you couldn't get any worse, so, yeah, there's only one place to go but up.
True.
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon. Listen, I think my answer that I want to give you is there's some kind of union of South Pacific Islands for flexible passports.
Oh, interesting. I think I might know what you're talking about. That is not on the tied for first place list. But I think you mean like the... Yes, I know what you're talking about. I can't say what it's called.
It's a word that collects all these small little islands together.
Yeah.
Okay, Cameron. I know we've talked about this. Cameron meaning crooked nose.
Sure does.
Right? And
yes.
The other one was... okay, we'll get that. Camus, meaning the I remember talking about that. Albert Camus. What does Camus mean?
I don't know.
Snub nose.
Okay.
But what is crooked mouth?
Dartress.
In Celtic? Or is it Gaelic? Yeah.
And you know this of very common name, actually. Crooked mouth.
I'm not sure.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Rhinestone
Cowboy?
Campbell.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
You didn't know that. Okay.
No.
Quick question for you, staying with the mouth. You know when you kid, if you... exhale, you inhale a helium balloon, and it makes your voice like sound like high pitched. Do you know why that is?
Because it something to do with freezing your vocal cords or affecting your vocal. Something
no,
like that.
That very interesting. No, that's not the answer. That's what I thought it was too.
I don't know.
Nope.
The answer is because helium is thinner. It's thinner than air. And so that's the frequency. That's what the frequency sounds like in the thin air.
So it moves around more within your vocal cords.
Yeah, it's the frequency is higher. So when we talk about, like, the people say, this is one small step for man, whatever. If he didn't have his helmet on, or, you know what I mean? If you talk about people really talking in outer space, in like an environment of helium or a thinner atmosphere, it all sound like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting? But that's helium. It's because helium is a thinner substance. It's moving through a thinner atmosphere. Your vocal cords. It doesn't.
That makes
not
sense.
Affecting your vocal cords.
Huh. Cool.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Next time, you get a helium balloon. Try it out.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye. So Cameron means crooked nose?
It does, and then my last name means little shack in the woods. So
did you get that crooked nose from playing football at Northwestern?
I don't have a crooked nose, but my mom does. Her name is not Cameron, though. So yeah.
That's like a horror movie title.
I forget how she got that as a child. But
okay. Yeah. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to talk to you if you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415 841 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. And let's see, Di Harris, let's see, In-N-Out fast food is burgers. Yeah, that's too generic, Di. Chinese restaurant name is Szechuan House or Szechuan Garden. That's a pretty good guess, but no, it's not that. And John was wondering, for Cameron's question, Syria and Somalia are two of the countries with the lowest visa places ability or
great,
whatever.
Great guess, John. Syria is second to last with 29.
All right, there we go.
And Somalia, was that there?
Somalia is not on the lowest three that I know of. Okay. Or it is not, yeah.
Okay. And Adam is wondering if, also Adam mentioned the sad Northwestern record, but
the trend.
He is right in saying Dairy Queen is the blizzard, but what specific kind of blizzard is it?
Oh man!
No, but there's a particular. They have different kinds of blizzards.
Reese's peanut butter cup? That's what I get.
No, it's not.
M&M blizzard.
No. Yeah. But they're famous for this because they're the only ones that do this.
Cookie dough.
Well, you're on the right track. So anyway, okay. I think it's your turn, Cam.
Okay. All right. Here's the literature question I was talking about. So 1987 is famously known as the largest upset ever in the National Book Award race. So I'm wondering what book was expected to win and what book actually won.
Can you give us a possibility of a genre or something or some hint on this?
You know, one is very famous, and I haven't read it. I hate to say this because it's actually pretty embarrassing that I haven't read it, but that might help. It's a novel. I don't know what it's about. I don't want to say that.
The famous one, the one that was expected to win, or the one that won?
Yes, okay. Very famous. The other I had never heard of when I heard this story.
Wow.
It is about, it sounds like maybe post-apocalyptic, but I don't want to say that for sure to lead you down the wrong track or anything.
Are both authors really well known to us still? It's not that long.
I had never heard of the one that actually won, but that, again, that doesn't mean that he is.
Either one of them become movies?
Not known. I believe so, yes. One definitely did. The famous one definitely did.
Well, I'm bad at years. 87.
So I'm sorry, we're talking about fiction and not nonfiction, or we're talking about...
This is just fiction.
Just fiction.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're both novels.
Is the author of the famous one written other books that we'd know too?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, I don't...
I do.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I have a very vague memory of...
Go ahead.
No, I just have a very vague memory of this big to-do about it. I'm not sure I can remember what the books are, though.
Okay, so I Googled the genre for the famous one because I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. I'm going to say American historical fiction.
For the one that lost,
that is a very famous one.
Wasn't Toni Morrison involved in this in some way?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's right. She's the one that got robbed, right? Or yes. At least that was the general impression.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
So 87, that must have been around the time of Beloved. Was it Beloved?
It was Beloved, yes. And it is shameful that I haven't read it. I acknowledge that.
But I don't remember what the other one was.
That's the one that was expected to win and lost.
Yeah, I think the entire world expected it to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right.
Hmm. Okay.
Way to go, Dana.
All right.
That's good.
Give that question once more.
Okay. So 1987 saw what is considered to be the biggest upset in the history of the National Book Award. Beloved, as Dana got, was expected to win. I want to know now what book actually won. It is the novel. I don't want to say post-apocalyptic necessarily, but it is disaster novel.
Okay.
Like science fiction-y, dystopian?
No, not science fiction-y.
Okay.
Maybe war-related.
All right. Yeah. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel today, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. Lori Fisher teaches at Davo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM, that is KALW, your local public radio station. Just to remind you once more, the two numbers you can call in order to engage us in a little conversation, 415-841-4134. Our toll-free, 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. Before I forget, I want your audience to tell me the last show for Alan Farley. What was the subject? Please, that's the audience. Maybe some of you know, but the late Alan Farley, he was a great KLAW person. Really, really good. Okay, I have a couple of very quick questions. 9 out of 10 fat people live in which country? Worldwide, I mean, you know, 9 out of 10 people in the world, 9 out of 10 live in which country?
Gotta go with the U.S.
Of course. Okay, you know, I respect, you know, everybody, fat or not, that's, you know, it's beautiful. Okay, second question. We're talking about that, which food, natural food, have the most radioactive radiation, most radioactive food, which one?
The Dairy
Is this
Queen,
because it
the
comes
Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Yeah. Let me give you a hint.
No, let me ask you this. Is it because the food comes by it naturally? In other words, it
naturally,
is grown?
You're right. I'm glad you said that. Naturally, yes.
I believe it's bananas.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Because bananas have very high percentage of potassium 40. Potassium 40 is naturally radioactive. There's one worse than that, which Brazilian nut, which even worse, but we don't, not many people eat Brazilian nut. Very quick now, last year, it just came out, was the hottest year ever, and as it did the year before, so we really are going into global warming, we really are, we cannot deny it, so we have to stop all, as much as we can, fossil fuel. Electric cars are not really, you know, the way to solve it, because electric car, as long as you get your electricity from fossil fuel, electric cars actually cause more pollution. Okay, very quickly now.
Wait a minute, didn't you tell us last week you have a couple of Mercedes?
Oh, yeah. My beautiful Mercedes, yes. I actually had four.
Do you not drive them at all? Is that our
No, I still have one left. I drive it, of course. The beautiful cars. You know, the best car I had, the best car I had was a BMW 3.0S. I did over 650,000 miles on it. This thing was, right now, it's selling online for $60,000, 1974.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, the last very, very quick question is, which planet in our solar system is our future? It's called, I know I asked you that before, but we have to keep reminding people to stop driving. Earth, evil twin.
Earth's evil twin?
Evil twin.
Well, that's
which one?
Mercury.
Not Mercury.
No, it's is it Mercury or Mars?
Either Mars one. Is it's the one we're going to.
It's between Mercury and Earth.
Venus.
Number two.
Venus
it is. Yes. The temperature in Venus is 900 degrees, which is enough to melt lead. The pressure is 100 times, so if you can drive your car there, your car will be flat in the ground. In fact, the Russians sent a spaceship in 1970s. It lasted only about 2 seconds, just enough to take a picture of the spacecraft bottom or foot over the ground. Gretchen, let's save the planet and try to eat less, stay healthy, and let's go forward for a much better. And I'm really worried about all of this rain because that is awful lot of humidity in the air. It's rained like, never seen it. I've been here in Berkeley for 6 years. I have never seen as much heavy rain as we had in the last several months. Thank you. Always great show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I didn't realize he was a life coach now. all right.
And our personal life coach.
Personal life coach.
Good advice.
Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to talk to you with a question or answer. 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And we are a little past halfway, so let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. I am looking for the 6 countries that are tied for first place in the strongest passport list. And by strongest, we mean you can go to the most countries without a visa, or that visit the most nations without a visa. So I'm looking for, other than Japan, which is one of them, the other 5 that are tied for first, they can all go to 194 countries. And then also looking for the other 2 of the 3 weakest passports, which we got Syria. Somebody got Syria. So there are 2 others that are very weak. And then I also am looking for the book, the novel that stole the National Book Award from Beloved in 1987 in a giant upset.
How about New Zealand as a passport-friendly country?
Great guess. It is not New Zealand. And I see Joanne is guessing Denmark. Also not Denmark. It is none of the Scandinavian countries are in the top. Tied for first. Yeah.
How about Ireland?
Not Ireland either. Hmm. I'm sure they're very good, but they're not tied for first.
Gmail people mentioned Canada.
Not Canada, no.
Not Canada, all right.
And I'm looking for, I have abbreviations and acronyms, and we got Care Package, Epcot, and CAPTCHA, so I am looking for TASER, USB, as in USB port or USB drive, QR, as in QR code, and GIF, and that's all I have out.
Oh, yeah, QR, wait a minute, somebody had that here. We got QR? We didn't get QR.
We did not get QR.
All right. Cynthia is wondering if QR was quick response.
It is. Give Cynthia a bell for that one.
All right. There. We really, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, living in the Bronze Age, as I do, of technology. So I won't speak. I won't say Cameron is there, too. But yeah.
I mean,
anyway.
Joanne has a guess for the GIF. She says graphic. Illustrated format. I think that's what she said. That's close, but not quite right. 2 out of 3.
Huh. All right. And yes, so I asked, what is the most common Chinese restaurant name in the U.S. that does not use the word China? It is a 2-word name. It is not Panda Express. That is fast food, and these are sit-down restaurants. So what is that? Remember, it does not use the word China, and it is 2 words.
How about Imperial Palace?
No. Neither one of those words were. And so what is the most single ordered item on these fast food chains? We have 1, Subway. 2, Chipotle. 3, Wendy's. 4, Jack in the Box. 5, Dairy Queen. 6, Sonic. 7, In-N-Out. 8, Taco Bell. It can be something to drink, though it's nothing as generic as a Coke. It's usually something that's very specific to those restaurants, but it's generally food, just so you know. Yes. And Lori, is it your turn? I think it is.
It is. I think it is. All right. I have a leading question, which I hope you get quickly, and then 3 follow-ups. The United States-Russia hotline was established after what event and because of this event? That's the lead-in.
Was it after the U2, Francis Gary Powers and U2?
No, it was after that.
After that. Hmm.
Okay, and by a hotline, you mean something that people can call and report something, or is it like...
No, it's the White House's link to the Kremlin.
Oh, that, so okay, the like the red link phone. To the, yes, or not the yes. red phone, the Kremlin hotline.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
it.
So it, sorry, yes.
No, that's so okay.
It's a United States-Russian hotline, so the president, the leaders of those countries can talk together.
Direct to each other, got it.
Joanne has it, so I'm going to get to it. She says it's the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that was
all
it.
All right.
So here are the three questions following that. As a trial message, each person sent a message, one in English and one in Russian, each by a famous author. Who are the two famous authors that they used for the test? Second question is, the first time it transmitted a message that was not a test, what was the event that precipitated that? And third, oh, and I have to thank Sue Schweik, my wife, for these questions. She's reading a history book and has lots of information. Kennedy later said that during the Cuban Missile Crisis, he relied on a historical work by a famous historian, a very famous work of history, to guide what he did to quell the Cuban Missile Crisis. So what book by what author did Kennedy use? Which authors were used in the first test message? One wrote in English, one wrote in Russian. And what was the first non-test message that communicated an important event?
Okay.
Well, I seem to recall that Kennedy's test message was one of those, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Not according to this work of history. It might have been, but maybe it was more ceremonial at that point rather than the first thing, because this was a well-known author from each one. So they might have done that one as the, you know, kind of just make sure it's turned on. And this might have been the one in a, that they did more publicly.
How about Mark Twain?
Not Mark Twain.
No.
Famous author, both very famous authors in English and in Russian. The first event after the Cuban Missile Crisis that would have precipitated the call, and then which work of history by historians?
Joanne, no, I don't know that right now.
Joanne gets Tolstoy. It's not Tolstoy.
Okay.
How about Dostoevsky?
Okay.
Dostoevsky?
Not Dostoevsky. But you're hanging out in the right kind of famous Russian authors.
All right. Leave it out.
Yeah. Cool.
And so... you're asking what
things? Asking three questions. Which authors wrote the test messages, famous author in English and Russian, that were sent? What was the first non-test that they did that was actually announcing an important world event? And then Kennedy talked about that a work of history by a historian, kind of a popular work of history, really guided his thinking about what to do during the Cuban Missile Crisis and how he handled the crisis. And he gave very public credit to this author and the book.
So,
all right.
Well,
can
go ahead.
And one more. How about
Kafka?
Not Kafka.
Ah, okay. I think Kafka wouldn't be. Kafka, I think, wrote in German, right?
He wrote in Czech or Czech.
Yeah, Czech. Correct. Czech. Yeah.
All right. Depressing. So, two questions. Since I think it was started within a year of Kennedy being assassinated. So it was Kennedy's assassination, uses of it?
Yeah, it was the first use that wasn't a test. Kennedy's assassination. Really good.
All right. Okay.
Tell yourself for that one.
Makes sense.
And damn it, I'm sorry, I forgot the other.
The other questions were which authors were sent. The one writes in English, one writes in Russian. Which authors sent the test messages? And then which book? A work of history, kind of a popular work of history.
Oh, well, I know Kennedy, one of Kennedy's, I just reread the book recently, so I remember this. If it's the same book. I know one of Kennedy's favorite works of history, and I used to recommend it to everybody, was were The Guns of August by Barbara Tuchman.
That is exactly correct. Very good.
Nice.
It's a really wonderful book.
Yeah, it is. And now we're just looking for the two authors.
Right. Okay.
Great. Way to go.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, good morning. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Sandra.
Hello. All right. Okay, we have a bunch of assorted, weird, hopefully, answers here.
My brain is not on this morning, so I've got nothing.
Well, the Chinese restaurant name that has no China in it, my guess is rice bowl.
Oh, that's interesting. No, it's good, not rice
let's go generic.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty generic name, just so you know.
All right, well, Sutter had...
I think it's something garden, maybe.
Or something kitchen.
Oh, something kitchen. That was my guess, yeah.
One half of it is a cooking implement, just so you
walk.
Know.
Walk. It's a walk, then.
That's one of them. That's one half of it.
All right. Oh, really? Walk?
Yeah.
We'll leave the other half to some other smarter person. How about the number one item ordered from restaurants? I'm just going to throw out meatball sandwich for Subway.
Well, it's definitely a sandwich.
Of course. All right. Well,
we just don't know the
not meatball
names of things. Only thing I know about In-N-Out Burger is there's like a double-double with cheese or something, which...
I'll give that to you. It's just double-double in a generic sense.
Double-double! All right!
Which just makes me think of Samuel L. Jackson with his Royale thing.
And last time our son conned us into going to Sonic, everything seemed to have Oreos in it. So I'm thinking it's something with Oreos for Sonic.
No, nothing with Oreos.
All right.
Is it a drink?
It is. Sonic is a drink, though.
Their cherry limeade thing?
Yes, it is. Cherry limeade. Very
good.
Yeah. Okay.
It was very hot in New Mexico. That's all I'm saying.
I have to go gargle now. In Taco Bell, is this something mundane like a bean burrito?
No. Well, right. It's not a bean burrito anyway.
All right. Okay. So as far as weakest passports, Sandra had one.
I did. Oh, I was wondering if it was Iran.
No, but you're in the right area of the world.
Libya.
No.
All right. Well, I was going to go to another part of the world and say East Timor. I mean, like...
No, logical guess, but no.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Okay, so here's my question for the day. So what Dr. Seuss book did Dr. Seuss alter 15 years after it was published, and why?
To think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. There was some issue with the way a particular race group was described. I think it was Chinese, but I
very good, a very good guess. Absolutely no. It has nothing to do with race. Although that would be a conversation for another day.
But I seem to remember that too.
But yeah, Mulberry Street was problematic, and there was another one also for a similar reason. No, this has nothing to do with race.
Okay.
It has something to do with copyright or anything like that?
No. It was in response to an impassioned letter that they got from a bunch of students.
Huh. Is it... Wow. I was going to say, was it one of his ones that rhymes? That's a stupid question.
Is it something...
Well,
is it something?
Okay, yeah, I'll give you half a bell for that.
Is it something ecological?
It is.
The Lorax, then.
It is,
Dana.
The Lorax, but why? Good job, dude. What was changed and why?
Okay, so it's something about like the Swami swans and the gluppity glup that they have to swim in. Like, is it something about one of the animals in that book?
No, it's not.
No, okay.
Was it more illustration or the language?
No, it's the language. It was an entire line was objected to, and he took it out.
So it's probably not one that we're familiar with in that case.
No, okay. Well, this is you either know this or you don't. But I just thought this was so cute. Students from the Ohio Sea Grant Education Program wrote him in 1986. This is like 15 years after the book came out. That he had wrongfully disparaged Lake Erie, and the little triplet there was: they'll walk on their fins and get woefully weary in search of some water that isn't so smeary. I think things are just as bad up in Lake Erie. And so these students wrote him and saying that that they'd been working real hard to clean up Lake Erie, and he should come and check it out and see how clean it is now. And he actually wrote back and said, yeah, you're right. I will remove that unkind remark. And all subsequent editions omit that line. So if you got one with that line...
That is great. That's a great story.
I would argue that I was close with the glubbity glub then.
Yeah, well,
I think just saying
glubbity glub
gets you a bell.
Yeah, you get some credit for that. Yeah, I was really warmed. My heart was warmed by this because in 1981, I actually wrote to Seuss because some friends of mine and I were singing his song Waltzing with Bears, and it was so amusing that we wrote it a couple extra verses. And so then we sent the verses down to Seuss in San Diego, asking his permission to record our new version, our new expanded version of Waltzing with Bears. And within a week, we got a letter from his lawyers with a restraining order telling us that we could not record that song, omitting or adding a single syllable.
Wow.
So, not so heartwarming story for that, but enough about me. Back to you guys. Great show.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, good to talk to you. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. You certainly have time to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. What time is it here? Okay. All right, I'll ask you a quick question. The drink, the margarita, which I've never had, but it's very popular, I know. The drink, the margarita, was named after a very famous singer. It was invented in 1948. And so who is that singer? And the singer is not named Margarita.
Is she named Margaret? Is it Margaret Whiting?
There is a corruption of margarita, or a slang margarita that sometimes... slang version of the name Margarita that sometimes people will use as a sort of a nickname. And that's what the singer was known as.
Marg, maybe? Marge? Marg?
Margie?
That's the only nickname for Margarita. I know.
Well, it's not Margaret, right? Margaret Whiting?
It is not Margaret, no.
Yeah. Maggie? So
What famous... Well, what's a corruption of Margaret? It's a nickname for Margaret.
Peggy?
Peggy, yes.
Peggy Lee.
Peggy Lee is correct. Yes.
No kidding.
Yes, yes. The margarita was named after Peggy Lee.
Do you know how that happened?
Yeah,
like,
why?
Was it a friend of hers, or was she performing at the club where it was invented?
Yes, it was she and her husband, David Barber, were at some resort, and she was performing, I believe, and the bartender invented this drink in her honor.
Oh, that's
interesting.
So, yeah, Peggy Lee. So, all right. Now, I want to give credit here to somebody. First of all, Di, also one of our, in our email correspondent, did get the double-double, so you get credit for that as well. And Deb got the correct Chinese restaurant name, which is Golden Walk. Golden Walk is the correct Chinese restaurant name. Yes, very good. Excellent. Good job on that.
Joanne says that one of the authors was Chekhov, and that is correct. So of the two authors on the test messages for that the Russian-United States hotline, Chekhov is one of the two authors. We're looking for the one who wrote in English. Way to go, Joanne.
All right. Nice. And Janosch is wondering if, Japan, I think, was mentioned as far as one of the passport countries. And the UK is the other one he was wondering about.
Not the UK.
Okay.
Yes, the UK are up there, but not in the top one.
So. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's KDF calling from Allendale Park in Oakland. Did you just say that the Russian author was Chekhov?
I did.
Was the English writing author George Orwell or James Michener?
Boy, Orwell would have been interesting. Michener would have been interesting, but neither one is correct.
Okay. That's all.
Okay.
Happy day.
Well, thank you.
Very nice.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Was the Dairy Queen answered yet?
The Dairy, no, not specifically. It was sort of nibbled around, so to speak, but not specifically answered.
Might that be the blizzard?
It is the blizzard, but what which specific blizzard is it? I think there's more than...
There definitely.
What's the topping on the blizzard?
Gee, don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, since we're so close to the end of the show, I will give it to you. It's the Oreo blizzard.
Oh, Oreo blizzard. Oh.
Yeah.
Great. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Melissa and Bill.
Hi.
Hi, we've got some guesses. We'll make it, and I'll save the question for next time. For the passports, that's strongest.
Yeah.
Is Luxembourg one of those countries?
Not Luxembourg.
Great. Okay. Is one of them an island or a grouping of islands?
There is not a grouping of islands. There is one that is an island.
Tahiti?
No, not Tahiti.
Okay. And among the weakest, what about Sudan?
Not Sudan, but that is an understandable guess.
And how about Myanmar?
Not Myanmar.
Okay. Lori, you're... whatchamacallit? Your...
Abbreviations or...
Abbreviations. USB... is a universal serial bus.
That is correct.
Good.
Excellent.
And a GIF, I believe, is a graphics interchange file.
Well, I'm going to give you two-thirds of it. I have graphics interchange format.
Okay, so yes, you're right. Yes. Yeah.
Got a bell on that one.
Okay.
How about Taser? Do you have Taser?
Well, I have the second letter of Taser, which I believe is amplified.
It is not, actually.
Oh, it's not? Oh,
no.
Well.
Much more weird.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have the answer in a second.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, maybe I have... No, I don't know if I have time for the question. I'll just let it go, and thank you guys for the show this morning.
Oh, thanks. And please save your question, and let's hear about it next week. Okay?
Yeah, sure enough. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, time to clean up here. Cameron, start with you.
Okay, so the six countries that are tied for the strongest passport with 194 nations that they can visit are France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Singapore, and Spain. The weakest country is Afghanistan with 28 nations they can visit, followed by Syria, which we got, and Iraq with 31. And then I have the book that beat out Beloved for the National Book Award in 1987 was called Paco's Story by Larry Heineman, and it's about a Vietnam War incident. Sounds like. Right. I have not read. Yeah.
The Russian United States hotline, we have everything but the author who wrote in English whose message was sent, and it was William Shakespeare. As far as the one that we're missing, the taser, it was invented in 1974, but the author went back to the Tom Swift books, and its name, and jokingly said, it's the Tom A. Swift Electric Rifle. And that's where the name came from, that became the taser, and that's what I have.
All right. And the most ordered single item at these fast food restaurants, Subway is the All-American Club, Chipotle is the Burrito Bowl, Wendy's the Hot and Crispy French Fries, Jack in the Box are the classic two tacos, and Taco Bell is the Crunch Wraps Supreme. So much for our culinary masterpieces. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. My thanks to Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabla Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate that very much, and we do hope you will join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great week, everybody. Happy spring. And hopefully we will hear from you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.